Today we are fortunate to have His Grace Anand Akinchana Krishna Prabhuji to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 10th chapter, verse 6 onwards. Before I hand over call to you, I would like to hand over Vrinda Mataji for brief introduction of Prabhuji. Hare Krishna, Vrinda Mataji, Dhanvat Pranama, Vishnu Srila Prabhupada and Gurudev, please take over the call, Mataji, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, thank you, Mataji. Akinchan Krishna Prabhuji is from Mumbai. He dedicated full time to monastic services, Brahmacharya in ISKCON in the year 1999. He had a short stint working in the industry for 2 years in Blue Star Limited and PC Soft Private Limited. After completing his graduation in electronics and telecom engineering and post-graduation in business management, Prabhuji has served as value educator in schools, Gita for college youths, and gives seminars for corporate young professionals on street stress and time management, Gita principles for a satisfying life, and motivational seminars for the youths in ISKCON Chowpatti's Prerana Youth Festival. Prabhuji is a regular Srimad Bhagavatam speaker in ISKCON Girgaon Chowpatti. He has been taking weekly spiritual discourses for devotee communities in Panvel, Khargar, and Seawoods, South Mumbai. He also organizes 2 months spiritual trips and talks for the British sabbatical youths from the Bhaktivedanta Manor every year. Thank you, Mataji, for giving the opportunity. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Rina Mataji, for giving invitation to Prabhuji. Hare Krishna, Akinchana Krishna Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. So should I continue?
Yes, Prabhuji. Please take over the time.
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेष भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठके कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे. So I wanted to project the Bhagavatam verse. Is it possible for you to give me the screen sharing rights?
Oh, sorry, Prabhupada. Yeah, yes, Prabhupada, please.
Okay, so we are on the 5th canto, 10th chapter, entitled The Discussion Between Jad Bharat and Maharaj Rahugana. We are on text number 6. Am I right? All right. So these are prose. And therefore, they don't have a meter. I'll just have to read them as it is. Aho kashtam bhratar vyaktam uru prashranto dirgham advanam ek eva uhivan suchiram nati piva na samhananango jarasa chobadruto bhavan sakhe no evapara. Ete sanghattina iti bahu vipralabdhopya. Vidyaya rachita dravya guna karmashaya swacharama kalevare vastuni samsthana vishesha hammametya. Nadhyarupita mithya pratyayo brahma bhutas tushnim shivikam purvavat uvaha. Translation and purport. King Rahuguna told Jadabharat how troublesome this is. My dear brother, you certainly appear very fatigued because you have carried this palanquin alone without assistance for a long time and for a long distance. Besides that, due to your old age, you have become greatly troubled. My dear friend, I see that you are not very firm, nor very strong and stout. Aren't your fellow carriers cooperating with you? Purport. In this way, the king criticized Jadabharat with sarcastic words. Yet despite being criticized in this way, Jadabharat had no bodily conception of the situation. He knew that he was not the body, for he had attained his spiritual identity. He was neither fat, lean, nor thin, nor had he anything to do with a lump of matter, a combination of the five gross and three subtle elements. He had nothing to do with the material body and its two hands and legs. In other words, he had completely realized his spiritual identity, Aham Brahmasmi. He was therefore unaffected by his sarcastic criticism from the king. Without saying anything, he continued carrying the palanquin as before. Jadabharat was completely liberated. He did not even care when the dacoits attempted to kill his body. He knew that he certainly was not the body. Even if the body were killed, he would not have cared, for he was thoroughly convinced of the proposition found in Bhagavad Gita 2.20. Na hanyate hanyamane sharire. He knew that he could not be killed even if his body were killed. Although he did not protest, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his agent could not tolerate the injustice of the dacoits. He knew that he could not be killed even if his body were killed. Although he did not protest, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his agent could not tolerate the injustice of the dacoits. Therefore, he was saved by the mercy of Krishna and the dacoits were killed. In this case, while carrying the palanquin, he also knew that he was not the body. This body was very strong and stout, in sound condition and quite competent to carry the palanquin. Due to his being freed from bodily conception, the sarcastic words of the king did not at all affect him. The body is created according to its karma, and material nature supplies the ingredients for the development of a certain type of body. The soul the body covers is different from the bodily construction. Therefore, anything favorable or mischievous done to the body does not affect the spirit soul. The Vedic injunction is asango yayam purushaha. The spirit soul is always unaffected by material arrangements. Hare Krishna. So, the words spoken by King Rahugana to Jadabharat are actually spoken in sarcasm. He didn't mean to say what he spoke. And he's saying that, my dear brother, now obviously Jadabharat was not the king's brother. So the king tried to tell him that, indicate in other words that you are meant to be the servant of the king. Generally, amongst brothers and relatives, you may take things casually, but with the king, and when the king commands, you have to take it as an order. So therefore, sarcastically, he's saying, my dear brother, you certainly appear very fatigued. There is no reason that the Jadabharat could be fatigued, because he just began picking up the palanquin. So again, the king is taunting him by saying, oh, you are very fatigued. Is that the reason why you are jolting the palanquin? Because you have carried this palanquin alone, isn't it? So he was not alone. He was along with three others. And so without assistance for a long time and for a long distance. Besides that, due to your old age, you have become greatly troubled. He was not old, he was young. He had a very strong body. And that was the reason why the palanquin carriers chose him to pick the palanquin. Seeing his robust body. And the other palanquin carriers were also engaged by force. And therefore, they are also trying to engage this Jadabharat by force. So he's saying that, I see that you are very old. And I see that you are not very firm, not very strong and stout. So basically, everything the king is saying is just the opposite of what the reality is. Yes, and you see, I mean, many times in our day-to-day lives, we face situations where people make pass sarcastic comments by saying things they don't mean in order to either express their anger or, you know, they're insecure or they're trying to assert their dominance and control. So many reasons why a person can be sarcastic. They don't want to fight with you because whatever the reason may be, but at the same time, they're angry with you and they're trying to joke with you and try to insult you by saying certain things like that. And all of us face these situations. Yes, so the reason the Srimad Bhagavat has this section here is to teach us, basically. It is a lesson for all of us as to how a pure devotee behaves in such trying circumstances. These days in YouTube, the reaction videos are very popular. Yes, are you all aware of this something called as reaction videos? There are some, you know, things that people put up and then they will record themselves viewing those, you know, maybe songs or certain episodes from some Bollywood or Hollywood. And they will capture their reactions, how they have reacted to that particular scene in a movie or whatever. And, you know, there are a lot of takers for that. It's becoming very popular. People want to see reactions. How do people, different people from different cultures, react to something? Unfortunately, they do not care about how a pure devotee reacts in situations. And Srimad Bhagavatam is all about pure devotees In fact, we can say that even the leelas of the Lord are not as much as the leelas of his devotees. You see here it's about Jara Bharat, then you'll see Prahlad, you'll see Dhruva Maharaj, and in the end, okay, we see that he dies or whatever. I mean, Prahlad Maharaj, you see that the Lord appears and then he delivers him and kills Hiranyakashipu and he's gone. That's it. It's a very small section where the Lord personally comes and he delivers his devotee. But a major part of the episodes cover the behavior or the acharan of a devotee. Teach us how we can face difficulties and tests in our lives. So, why does God put us in these tests? Why are there tests? Why are there difficulties in life? Just as when we have, we appear for exams, we've all been to school, and we know that tests play a very important role in trying to motivate us to study. And they determine, what is our score, where we stand, have we passed or we failed, so that we can go on, graduate. Similarly, everything in this world has been set up to test us. Yes, test us. And it also serves as examples. Like if there is an exam conducted, then, students, they go through the previous exams model and sample papers. They go through what were the questions and what are the model answers. What are the model answers? What is the best reply that you can give to a question that way? So we see that these kind of tests where we may be insulted, we may be criticized, we may be falsely charged with something. And therefore it is said, and you see every devotee in his life, they go through all these different kinds of tribulations and trials. Even in the Abrahamic tradition, we have this example of Moses. How he was banished into the desert, and he was moving around for many, many years, and finally he lived through it, which was a miracle. He lived through it when generally people they just die. He was left into the desert with very little food. Somehow by the grace of God he suffered a lot, but he was purified in that process, and then he became a prophet. He became Moses. He took the message of the Lord and delivered the Israelites from the slavery of the Egyptians. So tests, they purify us. Therefore, in the Subhashitam, there is a very wonderful verse which says, Dagdham, dagdham, tyajati napunaha kanchanam kantivaranam. Chinnam, chinnam, tyajati napunaha swadu ta mikshudandam. Krishtam, ghrishtam, tyajati napunash chandanam charugandham. Pranantepi prakriti vikriti nayati nottamanam. So it says, dagdham, dagdham, tyajati napunaha, kanchanam kantivarnam. Isn't gold cast into fire again and again? But what does it do? It does not take away the shine of gold. In fact, gold emerges out of the fire all the more lustrous. Chinnam, chinnam tyajatina punaha swadutam mikshudandam. Isn't a sugarcane put again and again into that crusher in order to extract the juice out of it? But still, no matter how much you crush it, what you get is sugar, sugarcane juice. It's always sweet. It doesn't become bitter just because you're crushing it. ghrashtam ghrashtam tyajatina punas chandanam charugandham. Isn't sandalwood, you know, rubbed and rubbed and rubbed on stone, but despite all that rubbing, all you get is sweet fragrance. Similarly, it is said, prananante prakriti vikriti nayate nottamanam. That similarly, saintly people, and they are subjected to severe trials and tribulations, there is no vikriti, or there is no change in their demeanor. It does not disturb their peace. They always continue to do good. Just as gold put into fire emerges more lustrous, sugarcane crushed into the crusher gives only sweetness. And sandalwood, when it's again and again rubbed, only gives more and more fragrance. Similarly, it is the nature of a devotee to always do good, no matter what the situation. And not just, you know, characters in Srimad Bhagavatam, even if you see, like we were giving the example of in the Abrahamic tradition, like the Jesus Christ, when he was crucified and the cross, it is said that he was praying that, forgive them, Father, for they know not what to do. Even in their tradition, it is, they consider forgiveness as an integral part of receiving mercy of the Lord. Forgiveness. Unless you don't forgive, there is no question of spiritual advancement. So now, in our tradition, of course, there is even more reasons why we should forgive. And how did Jadabharat react, and why did he react? What was the thought process behind it? So as we know, Jadabharat has gone through a lot. He was a great yogi in his past. He was Bharat Maharaj. But he made a mistake. He was born as a deer. And even in that life, he attained perfection. And next life, he was born as Jadabharat. And even as Jadabharat, previously, he was kidnapped by a few tribal men. And they were on the verge of killing him, offering him as a human sacrifice to Goddess Kali. Goddess Kali, and he did not show any resentment. He just surrendered and submitted. You want to kill me, so be it. He was seeing everything as the arrangement of God. And not only that, because he was pretending to be a Jada, an Avadhut, a man who didn't have a proper sense. He didn't seem to be normal, and therefore he was exploited by his own brothers and sisters. They deprived him of all his property, and they were simply feeding him oil cakes. They didn't even give him proper food. And they would make him do all the nasty services at home and be on the fields as a scarecrow and, you know, all those kind of things. And in all these reversals, in all these bad treatment which he received from his own relatives, he only did them good. Acharya explains, Srinath Chakravarti Thakur explains that he gave his relatives the good fortune of his association, thereby giving them an opportunity to be born again in the next life as a human, so that he can perfect their life and come back to God. Including these dacoits who kidnapped him and they wanted to put him to death. They also, even though they were nasty people, they did not have any good quality, but still Jadabharat, because of his grace, because of his association, they got the darshan of Goddess Kali, which is very auspicious. And the Acharya explains that because of that, even the dacoits, they would be born as humans in the next life for another opportunity to perfect their own lives. This was the compassion. Then what to speak of this king? You see, this king was actually the king in a mode of goodness. King Rahugana, as explained, that he was in the mode of goodness, but because he was a king, which is in the mode of passion, sometimes, you know, the nature of a king is, again, passionate. So mostly he was in goodness, but sometimes he would become passionate. And when he was disturbed, he became angry. That is the nature of a king. And the fact is that because he was a noble king, he was going to Kapilashram. He was going to Kapilashram. He was going to a holy place. So then what to speak of, this king? Obviously, Jada Bharat would do him a favor. And therefore, we see that eventually when he realizes, King Rahugun realizes that Jada Bharat is not an ordinary man, he got off from his chariot. How did he get this sense to realize, to understand that Jada Bharat was not an ordinary soul, because he was actually a king in the mode of goodness? Otherwise, he would not have been going to Kapilashram, as it is discussed in the previous verses. He would not have been going for a spiritual program. Anybody who's going for a spiritual program, you can know for sure he has got some spirituality in him. He has got some good sense. Otherwise, why is he going there? I remember in my spiritual life, my first encounter was with a devotee who was attending the class with me. We were doing a course together. And some devotees were teasing him. Because, you know, he was like a avadhut only. He was something like Jada Bharat. Even now, if you look at him, he doesn't have a job and he just moves around and something. But with due respect to him, he's a very wonderful devotee. Very wonderful devotee. But he has certain qualities of being an avadhut. So, in the class, everyone was making fun of him. You know, they were calling him Prabhu, Prabhu. Hey, Prabhu, Prabhu. And I was wondering, why are these people calling him Prabhu? Why are they teasing him? Why are they being sarcastic with him? And then I inquired and I found out that he is from ISKCON. You know, and I knew ISKCON very well from my childhood, because I was born in Juhu. And I've been going to this Juhu temple right from my childhood. You know, when it was just being constructed and when it was in those tin sheds. And the deities were in tin sheds at that time. I still remember it. Eventually, it became a temple. My parents would take us, because there were a lot of foreigners coming and everything, you know. So our parents would say, you know, let's go for a visit and things like that. So we wanted to see something different. So when I was very young, I used to go there. So I knew what was ISKCON. I had a good impression of ISKCON. I knew they were into genuine spirituality and traditional Radha Krishna. We were also devotees of Krishna right from childhood. Guru Vayur, we are South Indian. So when I looked at this boy, and I found out that he's going to the temple. So natural, reaction on my part was to assume that if he's going to a temple, he might be a good person. Anyone going to a temple will have certain elements of spirituality. And then that led me to go and approach him and ask him for the address of the ISKCON temple where I was doing my post-graduation. And then I went to the temple and I took my spiritual life further. So what I'm trying to say is that that Rahuguna had this goodness in him, due to which, even though he appears to be angry right now, he had this goodness in him. Covered, his intelligence was covered for the time being because he was angry, because he was not getting what he wanted, and all the others were criticizing Jada Bharat. They all said, it is not us, O king, it was this man. And you know, that's what happens. All others who were carrying the palanquin were Shudras by nature, okay, not by birth. They were Shudras by nature, and Jada Bharat was a Brahmin. And, you put the Shudras and Brahmins to work together, there is no compatibility. You can't put Shudras and Brahmins together to work on the same level. You can't employ a Brahmin to work as a Shudra. That was a mistake which King did. Brahmins has to be employed as Brahmins. You can't employ him to carry a palanquin. That was a mistake he did. He did not recognize Jadavara, that he was the topmost. He was beyond Brahmin. And then what happened as a result? He could not carry the palanquin. He couldn't do the work because his compassion did not allow him. Because when he was walking, you know, the ants were there and he wanted to protect the ants. So he would look 3 steps further, 3 feet, and then he would take his step. And in that process, it broke the rhythm. Because you have to walk in step. Like soldiers, they walk in step, they march like that. So all the palanquin carriers have to walk in step, and he was not doing that because he was trying to protect the ants. He was so compassionate. That's the nature of a great soul, that he's compassionate. Even while doing his duty, he didn't care. He was not afraid of the king's chastisement. He was more concerned about how to protect the ants. That's the Brahmin. You see, his nature did not change. And Prabhupada, in the previous verses, beautifully he's saying that our devotee should be compassionate towards all living entities. He's protecting ant, then what to speak of other animals, and you know, which are used for food by the huge slaughterhouses and abattoirs. So such a great saint also had to experience, for no reason at all, for no fault of his, such a kind of a criticism by the king himself. He was misunderstood even by the king. One should never think that, oh, why am I misunderstood? We are not the only one. If it helps, you know, if it helps, misery loves company. So here is an example. Even Jadavarat and great souls, and what to speak of great souls and devotees, the Lord himself, when he appeared in this world, he was criticized. So many demons came to kill him. And what to speak of us who are his followers, his devotees, we also will face those same kind of criticisms. You know, therefore, even in the Bible, it is said, glorious are those who will be persecuted in my name, for the kingdom of God awaits them. Something like that, there is a saying. So, and that's the nature of the world, you see, that as long as the saints live, people will criticize them. Like, you see, Jesus Christ, he was crucified. Haridas Thakur, he was beaten in 21 marketplaces. And after they are killed, then they will say, oh, and you will only be appreciated after you die. That also, if you are a great saint, that is. The nature of the world is that there is no respect for anyone and everyone. This is no place for gentlemen, as Srila Prabhupada says. This world is not a place for gentlemen. It's just the nature of the world. And for that, for instructing that, be open, see them as tests. The Lord himself was willing to take the kick on his chest by a Brahmin. The Lord was also tested. Bhrigu Rishi was given the task of finding out who is the supreme amongst the Trinity, Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh. So Bhrigu went to Shiva, went to Brahma and insulted both of them. But both of them became angry. But then when he went to Vishnu and he kicked him on his chest, the greatest insult was to Lord Vishnu. And how did he do that? By physically assaulting him. On the chest, he kicked him on his chest. So you see, the Lord took that insult. And what happened as a result of that? Lord Vishnu was proclaimed as a supreme amongst the Trinity. So it was a test. Bhrigu had put the Lord to his test. It was a task which was given to him. It was not a fault of his. It was the Lord's arrangement. It was a desire of the Brahmins to understand. If that episode would not have taken place, then the world would have never known. What a wonderful lesson now we have. And therefore, the Lord, how he reacted to that insult. He held on to the feet of Bhrigu Rishi and said, oh, you are a Brahmin. Your feet are so soft. Generally, Brahmins' bodies are very soft because they don't do physical work. They use their head more. So he said, oh, your feet are so soft and my chest is so hard. Moreover, I have worn jewels on my chest. Might have hurt your feet. So he held on to the feet of Bhrigu and started massaging it. Tears welled down Bhrigu Rishi's eyes and he said, how humble you are. You are truly beyond the modes of nature. Truly, because unless a person is not above the modes of nature, a person cannot be so peaceful. So now therefore you see, many times we hold on to our past when people have insulted us and we go on thinking about it and we beat ourselves down, we go into depression. Especially during COVID times, many times people are going into depression, comparing themselves with others, thinking about bad things people have done, their relatives have done to them and all those kind of things. But really, there's no point in doing that. The past is meant to give a lesson. That is all. All these episodes are meant to give us a lesson. That is all. It is not meant to be a life sentence. We beat ourselves over and over again. I mean, come to think of it, you can't laugh at a joke more than once or twice or thrice. If I tell you a joke, you laugh probably, yes? Now, if I immediately repeat it, you probably will again laugh. If I repeat it three times, so you may laugh, but then you may start thinking, okay, now it's getting too much. What's wrong? Why are you repeating the same joke again? So we can't laugh at a joke more than twice or thrice. Then why do we keep remembering all those negative things which have occurred in our lives and beating ourselves down? And we are reliving that same experience again and again and again. So life is meant to give us a lesson. It's not a life sentence. So what is the lesson that life is trying to teach us? So how did Jada Bharat deal with this? So what is the psychology behind this? When reversals take place, how do we look at it? How does a devotee look at it? So as I said, this is a reaction of Jada Bharat that we have to analyze. So it is explained here that Jada Bharat had overcome his bodily identification completely. He had no sense of I and mine. Why? Because he was a devotee of the Lord. He was in love. He had love of God. And love of God exists on the spiritual plane. When you start identifying as your soul, when you forego all the conceptions that I am Brahmin, I am Kshatriya, I am Vaishya, I am Shudra, I am Brahmachari, I am Grastha, I am Vanaprastha, I am Sannyasi, I am only what Gopi Vartuhu Pada Kamalayo Radas Adas Vanudasa, Naham Vipro Nachanarapati Napi Vaishwana Shudro, Naham Marni Nachagrahapate No Vanasto Yatirva, Kintu Prodhen Nikala Paramananda Purnam Ritabdher, Gopi Vartuhu Pada Kamalayo Radas Adas Vanudasa. So he was identifying himself not as any of these things. All that the king was trying to label him. People in this world label you. Oh, you are very intelligent. Oh, parents tell the children, oh, you are very intelligent. And then sometimes when the children go outside to play with their kids and their friends tease them, you dabboos, you brainless. And then he starts thinking, oh, I am brainless. So people label us and we start believing it. We start accepting it. But no. Jada Bharat didn't take any of it. He was situated in his spiritual position. I am simply the lover of God. I am the soul. I am part and parcel of God. That's all. The rest, everything is all fake. It's only external. And therefore, Acharya has explained that Jada Bharat did not have a material body in the first place. But out of his humility, he was pretending to have material conceptions. And he voluntarily picked up the, because he was told, he picked it up. He didn't refuse it. He had already lost all conception of materialism in his past. He was completely purified. And he didn't, he faked having a material conception. He showed that, yeah, that's the, you know, beauty, that spiritualists, though they are detached, they show that they are attached. The irony of this world is many times we, even though we may be generally people in this world, they may be attached, but we want to show that we are very detached. So in order to avoid the false ego to enter, because where there is love, there cannot be false ego. That is how devotees deal with situations. That if one wants to cultivate love of God, then the greatest enemy of love is ego. That false ego. Ahankar. That I am great. I am this, I am that. Like Sanatan Goswami, just, you know, recently was Guru Purnima. And the example of Sanatan Goswami, that when he visited Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri, you know, he would come by the way of the beach. He would come by the way of the beach. And it was mid-noon, hot sands, and he would be having blisters on his feet. He would be scorched. So Mahaprabhu asked him, why do you come by the beach? Why don't you come by the Simhadwar route, the short route? And it was much better. It was cooler route. You don't have to walk on the hot sand. Why do you do that? So Sanatan Goswami would say that on that route, it was frequented by the priests of Jagannath temple. They would constantly be moving in and out of the temple from the Simhadwar. So I am so fallen, if I accidentally touch them, I will contaminate them and their offerings to Lord Jagannath. And that would be a great offense. I can't serve the Lord, at least I should not offend him. He was so humble. And he didn't mind coming along that hot, sandy beach path, hurting himself severely. He never even attempted to go into the Jagannath temple. Because he was born in a Muslim family, social custom had it that people from other religions, born in other religions, are not allowed to enter inside. That you all know it. So he also never attempted, or he never, you know, criticized the system or anything. He simply would sit on that, under the Siddh Bakul tree, from where he would get darshan of the chakra over Lord Jagannath's Gopuram. And he would be satisfied, because taking darshan of the chakra is as good as taking darshan of Lord Jagannath. That is, it is said in the Skanda Puran. He was satisfied with that. Haridas Thakur, I'm talking about Haridas Thakur, yes. Both Haridas Thakur and Sanatan Goswami would be together. When Sanatan Goswami would visit Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would be along with Haridas Thakur. So Mahaprabhu was very, 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 very pleased, very moved by his humility. And you see, that is one of the sterling qualities of a devotee. And therefore, even in the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Lord mentions amanitvam adambitvam ahimsa shantararjavam acharyupasanam shaucham sthairyam atmavinikra. So he begins with the quality of amanitvam. Amanitvam means aman. Man means ego. Aman means one who has no ego. Because if you think that, you know, if we think that we are great, then our problems also become great. That is a problem. And if we think we are insignificant, then our problems will become insignificant. So we learn to laugh at it, you know. We don't take material life very seriously. Maya Javanika Channa. Kunti Maharani is praying that the Natasya, it is like a drama. World is like a drama. We're all praying, we are all actors and we're playing our parts. Don't take drama seriously. Things are happening, things are good, things happen, bad things happen. and not to be taken seriously. We have to learn to just laugh at it. You go along with the joke, you know. Go along with the joke. Like once there was a king, or there was one man who came to the king. A man who came to the king to beg for some something like that, for food or something like that. So the king said, "Oh, it was not a king. I'm sorry. It was one householder, and some beggar came there. So he said, "So what do you want? Give me something to eat." So he jokingly winked at his wife and he said, "Get him something to eat. Get puri. Get this. Get that. And get achar. Get papad and everything." So everything. He said, and his wife pretended to bring something. She did not bring anything. She just brought an empty hand, as if she is carrying a plate. And she brought it and pretended to keep the plate in front of the guest. So the guest understood that this person is being sarcastic with me. He's playing a prank with me. So he went along with the joke. He said, okay. And then he pretended to eat. So the householder, the very rich man, he was a very, very rich man. Probably he was a king. This is an anecdote. So he's asking, "How's the puris? How is the puri sabji?" "Oh, puri sabji is very good, very delicious. Your wife is a very good cook, very nice." He said, "Acha, and how is the gulab jamun?" "Oh, gulab jamun is the best." But then he said, "But I've not made gulab jamun. I served you kheer." "Oh, sorry, I made a mistake. Oh, I'm talking about the kheer actually." So basically, he just went along with the joke, and that man was very pleased by the humility of this beggar. And he said, "You know, you are truly a genuine saint. Actually, you have no ego whatsoever." And then he ordered his wife, "Bring all," and he handsomely rewarded him, gave him a huge donation, and sent him off. So, you know, that is the way you deal with it. Not taking it seriously, because really, ego is the biggest. It is not recommended. Therefore, in Vrindavan, there is a saying, Sankhri, you know, in that Sankhri Khor village, if you go, there is a crevice between two mountains, Sankhri Khor. It is a pathway which Krishna would take, the gopis would take. Gopis would go along that path carrying their curd and yogurt. And many times Krishna, along with the coward boys, would come there with sticks and block their path and say that, "Hey, give us taxes. We are the owners of this place. For your beauty, you should pay this much tax. For the yogurt, you should pay this much tax." And he would take their yogurt and they would, you know, eat it and distribute them and all that. Sankhri Khor. It is called as Sankhri Khor, a narrow path. That's what it means. So there, the Bajwasi, they say that Jab main tha tab tu nahi, ab tu hai to main nahi, prem ki gali athi sankhri, ta main dau na samahi. Jab main tha tab tu nahi, which means that as long as I had the conception of I, me, main, jab main tha tab tu nahi, so you are not present in my life. That means whenever there is ego, when I is there, you are not there. Jab main tha tab tu nahi, ab tu hai to main nahi. Now you have appeared in my life and now there is no longer conception of I. Prem ki gali athi sankhri. The path of love is very narrow. Ta main dau na samahi. There is either room for I or you. There cannot be both. That is the nature of devotion or love. And Jada Bharat, as it is explained by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, had that love for Krishna. And he did not want his false ego interfering with his... And he was in a swoon. He was wrapped in his moods of ecstasy. And therefore, you know, he did not care for it. Like a drunk man, you know, sometimes when a person is drunk, you abuse him, swear at him and whatever. That person is not aware actually. Because he just doesn't care about all those things. He's in his own world. So just like that, Jada Bharat was completely aloof, very humble. And, you know, there's another way that we learn to forgive as I was explaining, a very solid reason to forgive people who may seem to have transgressed etiquette or grossly trying to be mean and rude, is to see that it is all our karma. It is all our karma. People are not responsible for our sufferings. That's why in our philosophy we accept karma, because it is a solid reason why we should forgive. Why we should forgive, and why it is easy to forgive. Because this person, so and so person, is not responsible for our suffering. He is just a medium through which we are getting what we deserve. And therefore, we just let go of it. And, you know, do not aggravate it. Don't aggravate it by reacting. How do you destroy karma? It is said, you know, avashyam manu bhoktavyam kritam karma shubhashubham na bhoktam kshiyate karma kualpa koti kshatai rabi. Avashyam manu bhoktavyam. All of us will have to face karma, the reactions. Avashyam anubhuktavyam kritam karma shubha shubha. Whether we have done something shubha, that means auspicious, or we have done something inauspicious, the reactions will come for sure. Avashyam anubhuktavyam kritam karma shubha shubham na bhoktam kshiyate karma. Without having experienced the reactions of your karma, kalpa koti shatai rapi. Even if you spend a kalpa koti, many millions and billions of years, that karma will wait for you. It will wait for you. Because the only way karma is destroyed, there are only two ways karma can be destroyed. One is you experience it, and another is through devotional service. God can destroy your karma if he wants to. So a devotee is humble. He does not think that, okay, God is giving me these problems and all. No, he thinks that it is my karma. Let me be humble and let me accept it. And just goes on ahead with it. And he does not create, he does not retaliate, or he does not have a malice in his heart, because that will create again another network of karma. And he gets trapped. Because, you know, they say violence begets violence. This is a dog begets a dog, or a donkey begets a donkey, or a man begets man. That's how it is. It never ends. The cycle of karma will go on and on and on and on unless we choose to stop it by not reacting. Just experience it and it's gone. And that is how we stop karma. By regularly hearing, chanting, and practice. We need practice. We need to hear, discuss, be in the association of devotees. And that way we can give up this conception of I, me, mine, and our possessiveness. And again, as I said, if you do not forgive, how can you expect God to forgive us for all our transgressions? So, therefore, this Jada Bhagat pastime is very amazing, because we can relate with it. It's very relatable, because we all go through this. Hare Krishna. So, I'll stop here. If anyone has any questions, I'll take it right now.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Your class is instructive. Thank you for sharing the gurus of Jada Bharat. Prabhuji, do you have time for questions, Prabhuji?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. You have time, I have time.
Yes, Prabhuji. If anybody has any questions, realization, please go ahead.
Hi. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much Prabhuji for such a beautiful, beautiful class and many examples how, you know, how the criticism happens and then how we have to react. Like I really like the example of sugar cane that you are talking about, how sugar cane is pressed again and again, but the sugar is only coming out. So the devotees should be like that, even though so much of testing is happening. So many people are criticizing you, trying to fall find on you. But always we should be so sweet that we should not get carried away with those words. Just be calm and just leave it to Krishna. That's so nice, Prabhuji. Your examples of Chandan and sugar cane and test papers, you are talking about how Srimad Bhagavatam is like a test paper. Like we can see how devotees are reacted in certain situations, so then we can also learn from it. I can react. I mean, I was able to recollect my degree classes when I'm going, when I'm writing my exams. Instead of reading whole syllabus, I used to go buy this test paper books from the market and just see what 2004 paper is asking or 2002 paper. Okay, let me just revise this. At least I'll get out from this degree. So this, I could react very easily. So this is Srimad Bhagavatam is also helping us to know what Krishna, how Krishna will test us or how we can surrender to Krishna. All your classes is very nice, Prabhu. I will go and hear it again and again to make myself strong and not to get carried away with this kind of criticisms or fault finding. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Grateful, grateful, very grateful. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Pranama, Goshti, Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Very, very beautiful class. Prabhuji, Sankri means narrow, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thank you. Means first time I heard that. Because always we say Sankri Kori, but means, yeah. So, can you say that again, Prabhuji? You were saying Prem Ki Gali Bahut Sankri.
जब मैं था तब तू दिस इज द डिवोटी स्पीकिंग टू कृष्णा जब मैं था तब तू नहीं दैट मींस व्हेन आई वाज लीडिंग अ मटेरियल लाइफ ऑल आई वाज कंसर्न्ड अबाउट इज मी माइन एंड माय सेल्फिश मिजरीज जब मैं था तब तू नहीं अब तू है तो मैं नहीं प्रेम गली अति संखरी तामे दाऊ न समय दाऊ मीन्स टू देर कैनॉट बी टू देर कैनॉट बी यू एंड मी टूगेदर हैज टू बी आइदर यू और मी आइदर वी आर इन लव विथ आर सेल्स और वी आर इन लव विथ कृष्ण
हरे कृष्ण प्रभु जी कोटि कोटि दंडवत प्रणाम श्रील प्रभुपाद श्रील गुरुदेव श्री श्री राधा गोपीनाथ की जय 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 नित्यानंदा जय जय गौरांगा सो नाइसली एक्सप्लेन ऑल द पॉइंट्स स्पेशली इट्स टच टू माय हार्ट दैट समटाइम्स वैष्णव आर बिहेविंग विथ अस वेरी स्ट्रेंजली एंड दैट टाइम वॉट इज अवर वी शुड प्रे बिकॉज दैट इज अवर कर्मिक रिएक्शन ऑफ लास्ट बर्थ एंड प्रभु जी you explain about the ego so nicely that when I die, then only bhakti will start. So that when the ego from inside my heart is died, then only Srimati Shishi Radharani, Lord Krishna Shishi Radha Gopinath sit in my heart. So it is very important for all Vaishnava, for sometimes Vaishnava are like so many years practicing 20, 25, 30 years and they just insult the other Vaishnava. This should not come. I hear from Sri Ram Prabhu that there is a fountain in our Shri Radha Gopinath that whenever you have a little bit proud, you have to come out again. So thank you, Prabhuji, for correcting us. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev, Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai. Koti koti danvat pranam. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhuji, for your deep devotional association.
Hare Krishna. I'm just repeating whatever I've heard from devotees and acharyas. I pray that I may get some realizations of what I speak. Need your prayers.
If you have any other questions, we can end the call here. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for enlightening class today. We are very grateful to you and we look forward to your association again in the future. Let's pray our obeisance to Prabhuji and all Vaishnavas. Vanchakalpatarudeshya, Kupasindeva, Chapattanam, Pavanobhyo, Vaishnavobhyo, Namo Namaha. Kirantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupad ki jai, Prabhuji ki jai.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.
Everybody is so eager to listen. It's unbelievable. So thank you for inspiring me actually. All of y'all are coming together, even though y'all are abroad, and I think that y'all are connecting yourselves and hearing. You know, it's easy to speak, difficult to listen. That's why listeners are greater than the speakers, in my opinion. Because, you know, when you speak,
no problem.
Easy to listen. You have to prepare so much for to speak.
You know, with the speaker, you get some appreciation. People say, "Arey, Prabhuji, oh, what a talk you gave." That. But what? Who appreciates the speaker? Does anybody say, "Arey, Prabhuji, you have heard so well. So wonderful." Nobody says. We all appreciate. And therefore, if you listen to Srimad Bhagavatam, truly, in a way, of course, I was speaking. Listener should not think that I'm greater than the speaker. It's not a good consciousness, but I'm just saying. Now, because I'm playing the role of a speaker, I would say that you all are far better than me. You know, one great saint said, "Main baitha hoon chauki par. Main baitha hoon chauki par. Isiliye main chaukidar. Aap baithe hain zameen par. Aap zameendar."
Zaminda, oh my God.
So sweet of you, Prabhuji.
Yeah.
Thank you, Prabhuji, for glorifying all of us.
Prabhuji, can you translate Prabhuji for Mataji? Yeah, because...
Okay. So, Chokhi par, main baitha hoon Chokhi par. In Hindi, Chokhi means Vyasasar, pedestal. So, in Hindi, you say that Chokhi. And so he says, because I'm sitting on a chauki, I'm chaukidar. Chaukidar means a security guard. Because they rhyme. Chauki, chaukidar. It just rhymes basically. So
Same word with the different meaning. Chaukidar and chaukipar. That's different.
So I'm sitting on chauki, so I'm chaukidar. And because we're sitting on the zameen means ground. Okay. So generally, Bhagavad speakers, they sit on the ground. Now, of course, Zoom, everybody is sitting on chair and I don't know what you're sitting on. But at least I'm sitting on a chair. Yeah, you can see this. But anyway, those listeners are sitting on the floor, on the ground, zameen it is called. And therefore, and zameendar means landlord. You're sitting on the ground. So zameen and zameendar, they rhyme. So therefore, y'all, basically, landlord is greater than the security guard, is it not? Yeah, so therefore, so listeners are greater than the speaker in that sense. So.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Akinchan
Krishna Prabhuji ki jai.
Thank you so much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam. Hare Krishna.
Pranam Prabhuji.
Thank you everyone for joining. Closing the call for today. Hare Bol.
Hare
Krishna. Closing the call. Hare Krishna.